Welcome to this week's podcast for Books and Culture. I'm Stan Guthrie, and the star, as always, is Books and Culture's editor, John Wilson. John, the book this week is The Mystery of God by our friends at Baker.
Stan, this is a book I have been waiting for quite a long time. As you said, the title is The Mystery of God, Theology for Knowing the Unknowable. The authors are Stephen Boyer and Christopher Hall. I don't know Steve Boyer, but I know Chris Hall very well, and I can remember several years ago, I think it might have been the last time I went to AARSBL, it was in San Diego that year, Chris told me about this book that he and a colleague were working on. It's a very good book, and it's about a subject that I think is one of the most important for evangelical Christians today. The Mystery of God probably wouldn't rank high if you looked at what conferences are being held right now in evangelical circles. And so that might seem like a very idiosyncratic choice or even slightly perverse, but I don't think so. I think that partly because of our great reliance on Scripture and the authority of Scripture, which is fundamental to the evangelical tradition, and partly because evangelicals have been very conscious of trying to hold the line against fuzzy concepts of God that lead away from the God who revealed himself to us in Scripture. There's been a tendency in evangelical circles at every level, from the popular to the most scholarly, to overemphasize that which we can know in a very clear and certain way and underemphasize all that which exceeds our grasp. The book, as is implied in the subtitle, which I'll read again, Theology for Knowing the Unknowable, is built around a tension between the fact that if what we say about God is true, about his nature, his infinite power and wisdom and all the things that we attribute to God, if that's true, it follows that we can only grasp a tiny bit of who he really is. So that's one pole. And the other pole that's in tension with it is the fact that we as Christians, and in particular evangelical Christians, believe that God actually has revealed himself to us. It easily leads into an unwarranted smugness, a certainty, a sense that we somehow have got God in a box, even as we would say with horror, oh no, we would never do that. But then we turn around and show by our practice that we're doing exactly that. On the other hand, simply talking about, the mystery, there's so much we can't understand, and pretty soon you have someone like John Hick or Gordon Kaufman, and they're explaining how, of course, any particular tradition that pretends to tell you, well, God said this, and he said this, or you did this, and well, that's just completely a sort of primitive approximation, and the very nature of God defies that. What the authors do in this book is work productively with that tension. But I see some signs that some of the most productive work in evangelical theology in this coming generation is going to take us to a deeper acknowledgement of the mystery of God. There's going to be a deeper attention on the part of evangelicals to negative theology. From my point of view, that's a development greatly to be welcomed.
Can you give us a brief idea of some of the remedies that this book proposes to deal with our own maybe overemphasis on the knowability of God?
They start from the outset. They use the metaphor of the sun. And one of the authors describes taking a walk and how he was conscious of this and how he was conscious of that and all these elements of a beautiful morning. And then it suddenly struck him that what was illuminating everything that he saw was the sun, and yet he hadn't really looked at the sun. Of course, he couldn't look at it for very long, but he said, I'm just going to look at it. And so he turned and looked, and he said, well, my eyes were kind of blinded for a couple of minutes. And
don't try this at home.
But they use that metaphor as a way of thinking about how everything comes from God. God is the creator of all. All ultimately is in his sovereign hand. And yet we can't observe him directly. we can observe his works. He became incarnate in Christ and so came among us. But that, in a very simple way, suggests the argument. They try to be very scrupulous about maintaining this proper tension that we were talking about. And if anything, if you could say they go a little far in one direction or another, you could say it's in the direction of caution. But I think that that's good. I think the enthusiasm that I feel for this project, I've met a lot of Christians, especially a lot of young Christians, who are very attracted to a greater emphasis on the mystery of God. I think that the authors are aware that that can be something that is to be celebrated, but it also can go off the rails in various ways. And I don't think anyone could fault them on that score. From some readers' point of view, they may be even a little too cautious, but they're very responsible in trying to be true both to the God who has revealed himself to us and the God who always will exceed our understanding, not just by a little bit, but but whose reality dwarfs our understanding. And both of those things are true, and we live in the tension between them.